Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the rap game, not bragging. Lip bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Sprawling backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Dolly got nothing to do with rap. Shut the facts, expose those cats. Who poses heroes?
Well, hi.
Yeah.
We're back. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored. After a brief little hiatus there.
Correct.
That took a week off. We had a lot of tweets.
We did.
And Instagram posts. It was actually very flattering.
It was.
Because you always wonder if anyone listens to this. Because it's like, you know, there are a few people will comment here and there. But then when you have a lot of stuff going on, you're like, well, it doesn't matter. We can skip a week because it's not like a bunch of people are listening anyway. Well, that's not what I thought. Not anymore. And I'm trying to find the Instagram post that I saw yesterday. Sorry. And I'm trying not to be that person that's like sniffing and...
Well, we took last week off because you were sick. Oh, wait, yeah. No. This week off because you were sick.
Yeah.
We took last week off because we were busy as hell.
Yeah. I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on last week.
It's like Dr. Seuss read-along day. It was like... Well, there was other stuff. I made it seem like there was a lot. No, there was. It was like every single day there was something right after the show that prevented us from doing a podcast. And then this week, Miguel got sick, what Ryan and I have been dealing with. And so we couldn't do it until today.
Yeah.
So here we are.
My name is Miguel Fuller, Atali O'Connor, and that is producer Ryan McGivney.
What's up?
So I'm sick, and I am... Yesterday I felt amazing. Like that was the first day since Sunday that I felt like, ooh, I feel good.
Yeah.
And then
overdid it, didn't you?
I didn't. I went to CrossFit yesterday, but I didn't do the workout. I just rode. That's it.
Okay.
That's just because I knew I didn't want to stress my body out with weightlifting because they were doing some heavy weights yesterday. And I was like, my nervous system cannot take that right now. So I just went and I just rode and I just watched everybody work out.
Mm.
I had a little sweat and that was about it. But then this morning I woke up and I was like, what's wrong with me?
This sickness hits you 2 to 3 different ways before it's done with you.
Yeah, because
it gets you. It comes in like every day is a new thing.
It is. Because I was dealing with achiness of my body on Sunday. And then I went to the doctor Monday. They gave me Tamiflu. And then apparently the sickness has affected my tonsils. And so my tonsils, because I have really large tonsils, and those flared up. And so now, and I'm also taking an antibiotic for that to get rid of the bacteria back there. And so it's just been a mess. And so this morning I woke up, and now I think it's my allergies or my sinuses that are getting me, so I feel the pressure on my face. So I took some Sudafed this morning during the show, so I'm feeling kind of good.
Right.
I'm like, yes, but my energy's like kaput.
Yeah.
Also, too, I think a part of this has been that I was talking with someone at CrossFit last night about this, is since I have been single, every weekend has sort of just been like, you know, crazy, just going out and just, I mean, like Saturday of this past week, Friday night, I said, I'm not going out.
Which never happens. You always go out when you say you're not going to go out.
Well, I had a CrossFit. The CrossFit Open is happening now. And I have a CrossFit workout every Saturday morning for the next few weeks. And I was like, I really want to do well in this. And so I was supposed to. We went to go see Get Out, some friends and I. And then we're like, well, let's go to Enigma for one drink.
Okay.
One drink.
Even if you were going to go somewhere for one drink, it shouldn't be Enigma. It should be like, I don't even know, like Anada on Beach Drive.
Right.
Like, you cannot go to the club and have a drink.
Absolutely not.
That's ridiculous.
So the next thing I know, we're not only at Enigma, we're like at the garage and we're at this other place down Central Drive. And then I don't think I got home until like 2 something in the morning. So then I woke up and I was like, oh gosh, got to do my workout. Went to do the workout. Then my friends were like, hey, come to brunch. So then I went home, took a shower, went to brunch on Beach Drive Saturday at Stillwaters. And then we had mimosas there. And then my CrossFit friends were like, hey, we're at the beach. Come to the beach. Then I was like, all right, bye, gays. Going to see the Straits. So then I went over to the beach and to Reddington Beach. We were down there. We were drinking some more.
Reddington. That's the one that I want to go to. I always forget. Always forget Reddington Beach.
Oh, yeah. It was really fun. It was really great. One of our CrossFit family members, he works at one of the condos. So we got access to like their pool and hot tub and stuff. And so we were outside just hanging out. It was very casual. And then after that, they're like, let's go out some more. And so that's when I should have stopped. Like at that point after the beach, I should have been like, this has been a very successful day. Like, I feel great. I didn't.
You never do.
No. We went out, was out till, actually, I went home pretty early for me, Saturday night, around 1.
Oh! Do not present Miguel Fuller with a good time.
No.
Because he cannot say no.
No. If it's during the weekend, because during the week, you know, we have a pretty mundane schedule. I go to work, I go home, take a nap, eat lunch, do CrossFit, come home, go to sleep. And so when it's Friday, Saturday night, I'm ready to turn the F up.
Yeah.
And so then when I woke up Sunday to go to brunch, because I was going to go to brunch, I was like, something's not right. My body felt off.
Your body said, I hope the fuck you do. Try it. Try it.
Try me. Try me.
And then it shut you down.
Yeah.
So it was a reaction to all of your craziness.
So yeah. So this weekend, I said I want to like get my body rested because we have St. Patrick's Day next week. And that's on a Friday, which will bleed out into the weekend. And then after that, it'll be Tampa Pride. And then there's already like stuff going on. Your girlfriend's having a birthday party then. Mm-hmm. You're ordering a keg for.
Yeah, I am. That never mind St. Patrick's Day. I'm moving that weekend. Ryan's girlfriend's birthday, I am already planning the turn up.
Wow.
It's daddy-daughter weekend, so whew, I'm there.
Wait, so Holly, because you're that woman that always on St. Patrick's Day has like the freaking...
Oh, yeah, I'm going all out.
The what is it? The pin?
Shamrock pin. I have a pin that says Kissing Me, I'm Irish, and I've had this pin since second grade, and I wear it every year. I have some beads that have shamrocks and a whistle, so I blow it at you if you're not wearing green. And I have I have a new thing to the repertoire. I have a headband with a little leprechaun hat on it.
Oh my gosh.
I'll wear that. I just go all out because St. Patrick's Day is one of those holidays where you cannot be too gaudy and tacky.
Right. Well, clearly, as you've taught us.
Clearly.
Through the years.
So I will be dressed up, but then I'm also moving that weekend.
So you're not going to turn up at all?
I don't know. I have a feeling my mom is going to get crazy and be like, you need to help me unpack this house or whatever.
Oh.
So I may go out just in the name of St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
What we used to do, can I tell you, this is so obnoxious. One of my good friends in college and I would go to the bar in my college town, and we would do all that gaudy shit that I just said, but also we would bring a box of Lucky Charms with us, and that makes you the head of the party, can I just say.
Mm.
So you walk around with Lucky Charms, people are like, yes, I will have some. It's a great conversation starter / icebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would also bring our own food dye in case there was beer that needed to be greened up. So it was a blast. I did one time spill the green food coloring on the bar floor, and I believe it's still green to this day.
Did you ever pick up guys on these days when you were at the bar, like on St. Patrick's Day when y'all were those girls?
I think so. I don't know. I think I might have had a boyfriend at the time. I can't remember. I just remember having a blast with her, with the Lucky Charms and the food coloring. And
well, you know, that's true. You know what? Going out isn't always about finding someone.
It's not. It was about, like, we still reminisce about those times. Like, we did it 2 years in a row, and then the third year we had a party at her house, but
it wasn't the same.
It was fun, but it wasn't as good as going to the bar and just passing out those Lucky Charms. Gosh, it was fun, y'all.
You know what? I should try that at the gay bar. I should be that gaudy person now that I'm single.
I don't see why you don't. Are you embarrassed? Like, don't be embarrassed to be that guy.
No. Girl, no, I'm not. I'm never embarrassed about any of that. I just don't know if that's my style. Like, if I were to do something, but I'm trying to think, what would it be? If I were to, like, be over the top ridiculous, what would Miguel do at the gay bar?
Yours always is about taking home somebody or something or like making out. So you would be the person that has a shirt that says like something about being pinched if you're not wearing green, and then you would go pinch guys' butts.
True.
That's your
thing. No, it wouldn't be pinch. It'd be like, I'm gonna pinch your dick if you're not wearing green.
Or you'll
at
do
at the gay bar. You have to go out.
Dick. Who wants their dick pinch.
I mean, you say, like you say that because it's St. Patrick's Day, but you're not actually going to pinch it. I'm going to like caress it.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna do a dick grace.
You know what? You should get a shirt that says like "Kiss me, I'm Irish," or but it'll be like "Kiss me, I'm Irish," and then as an arrow pointed to your dick.
Suck me, I'm Irish.
Yeah, that's your style. Mine's Lucky Charms. Yours is dick grazing. So I mean, however you want to do it.
Oh wow. So yeah. So St. Patrick's Day is gonna be then.
Right when we're busy then. So a lot of stuff going on.
And so Ryan, your girlfriend's party.
Yeah.
There is talk of a keg.
Yes,
I have not been to a party with a keg since I was
neither.
At Georgia Southern
That's
University.
That's why it's going to be fun.
Oh right? My God. Like, are you going to have a funnel or like what?
Yes,
we
get a
should.
Beer bomb. Please
I'm
get a beer
I'm not doing
bomb.
It, but somebody else can.
Ryan, if it's there, you'll do it.
My funneling days are over.
Wait. Are you sure?
We one time had a 3-story funnel.
Oh my gosh.
Shit.
So the
too much.
Somebody stands up on the 3rd story of like the hotel and drops
far?
It down, uncurls it. It took like 2 whatever the 40-ounce things
my God.
To fill it up.
That's how people die. That's you like just, in a movie with frat boys
need,
and people die.
You just need one.
Just one.
Your stomach is not designed to hold that much beer.
That was in the day of camera phones.
Oh,
that was
yeah,
like before camera phones.
It true. Kind of sort of a little glad
BC.
Though. Yeah, BC before cameras.
Do you think anyone at this party will do a keg stand?
I encourage that.
See, but here's the problem. Like when I was in college, and because I didn't drink beer back then, and so people would do it, but everyone was like super skinny because it was college, and everyone's like, you know,
fit.
Now, can anyone actually like now, hold someone up to do it?
Now I drink like half a beer, and I'm like, ugh.
That's a better question. I'm not sure. I never did a keg stand in college, and
it's
I don't
just
even
gonna
know
be a
how
lot
to
of
do
people,
it.
So I figure a keg would be fitting.
No, it is.
So we can supply.
The alcohol.
Yeah.
So how do you, so when you do a keg stand, so you have the, what is it, the tap or whatever?
The little nozzle.
Yeah,
the nozzle.
You just put that.
In your mouth?
Sprayer in your mouth.
And so then two people like hold, or people
you
hold your legs up and then you're just like. And so then when do you stop?
You just try to go for as long as you can.
And then eventually you like move your legs, to get down. And you're like, I don't know.
Or like, it just explodes out of your mouth when you're done.
Yes. I actually think that's the proper end to a keg.
Oh, man.
Like,
floor is going to be so dirty.
Poor Ryan.
When you think about time, like stuff that you did in college, and you're like, how are we not all dead?
Yeah.
Like, how did we seriously not die when we were spraying? Not like it's not poison, but I mean like the amount that we were doing in our bodies.
Yeah.
And how did we not die?
Pretty much. I don't know.
And then the things that were happening when you're drunk, when you're in college and you're like
really questionable decisions.
I mean, just insane.
Well, I used to be a part of the sailing team at USF.
You were?
Yeah. And every other week they would have a themed party.
God, I love theme parties.
Anything. Like just every 2 weeks on
that
a
was the
on
best.
A Thursday because Thursday is college Friday.
Yeah.
Because everybody sets up their classes that way.
Well, mm-hmm. ours was different, but
and
I wish it was
I mean,
that way.
That's what we did.
Yeah, we did.
And then
Tuesday.
It was at least 2 kegs every other Thursday.
Oh, damn.
And it was like a 2-story house. 4 of the people on the team lived in this house.
Did they have a name for the house?
I don't remember.
Because I feel like
know.
All the houses have names.
That was
in
a very
college.
Blurry time.
Yeah, right.
I didn't even know you went to college.
Yeah, I went to USF. And then.
How long did you go for? He's like, a semester.
A semester.
Enough to go to the
party. No.
On the
but
team.
That's because the music production program opened up at SPC, and I was really interested in that.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. That's...
How was your experience in college, Ryan?
It was great.
Yeah.
I mean,
USF was cool. I wish I would have stayed there.
Yeah, you really should have.
Whatever. They didn't have anything I was really interested in. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So
that's the problem. If you don't know what you want to do, or at least are willing to give something a try for a while, then
right.
It's tough.
That's what's so interesting to me as I'm back on Tinder and my settings on Tinder on like who you can see. Because I guess I never deleted my Tinder profile. Like, I deleted the app from my phone. And so when I re-downloaded it, and it was still, like, intact from when I was, before I started dating my ex. And so when I was going through it and, like, looking at the the settings that I had it on, I can tell I was like thirsty. Mine was like from age 18 to like 55.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I had a 100-mile radius around. Like I was like, anybody, anything,
How you put, I don't know if you guys do this, but like whenever I set something like that, it's like, okay, to 32. And then you're like, well, what if they're 33? Right. And then it's like, but what if they're 35? They could still be cool. And then you're just like, all right, 55. But what if they're 56?
Exactly. And that's what I did. And so I was like getting people that were like 18 and 19. And it's, and I don't know what's happened from like being 30. Is that, that's when I met my ex. Yeah. I was 30. To now 31, I'm going to be 32. Looking at these 18-year-olds, they look like children.
That's because you're not that old anymore. You're way older than that now.
But, like, what happened in a year and a half? Like, before then, I would have been like, come on, 18-year-old, you better get up on
which
this
is,
dick.
Oh, my God. Okay, but that's also, we would have given you shit about it because we're like, Miguel, like, did you see this? She looks like a child.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Which I would expect you to say the same thing to me, like, right. Barring Shawn Mendes, of course.
Well, that's
yeah, and, like,
story.
when you're, like, 18, 19, and you're going after the older people, and you're like, why? Like, yeah. Why don't they?
Why don't you?
Because you look like a child. That's
right?
Why. Now I know.
Girl, you're not grown. And I'm sorry, but girls nowadays look way older at the age of 18 than we did. Like, and that is a. I talked about it with a bunch of different groups of friends. The makeup game, like, went next level about 5 years ago. Like, nobody was wearing makeup like this when I was 18 years old.
Right.
Barely at all. And then even in college, I wasn't even wearing makeup, like, you know, the full on until we started being on TV here.
Now, was that because you were in Ohio? Like, I feel like y'all are very sort of plain there. Like, you're very, there's not a lot of thrills and frills.
Holly's face right now.
What the fuck you say about Ohio?
Listen, Holly, when I look at your pictures from college, look, y'all had fun. Don't get me wrong. But the fashion and the hair and the makeup, it just looked very plain. It just looked very, it's not a bad thing.
We were worried about our studies.
Not when you were doing fucking keg stands.
That was part of learning. No, listen.
Well, and okay, but
yes.
in all fairness, this is Florida. Florida's very much superficial.
Yeah.
Because we live on beaches, right. So you kind of have to be.
I will say yes and no. Yes, there is a little bit of, like, Midwest cornfield factor in there. So, yes, we were not, like, you know, get. And plus, there's the other factors, too. So, yes, it's, like, the middle of nowhere. It's cold a lot. So, there are those factors. But also, you have how the internet and everything is nowadays. We didn't have that back then. Even
right.
If I wanted to put a lot of makeup on, somebody would have been like, are you trying to go do a drag show? Like, no one wears that. So, we didn't have. Yes, we had the internet. But, like, we didn't have the way that it is pushed out to you now with your phone. And
instant.
You have
it's
all
not
of these YouTube videos of people doing makeup tutorials.
Yeah.
And
right.
Suddenly it became like,
you had to wait, like, 5 minutes to watch a video.
You did.
Buffering.
And videos were not what they were. Like, it just didn't exist on that level.
Right.
So, yes, it's a little bit of Ohio, but it was a little bit of nobody that age was really getting into heavy makeup the way they do now.
Mm.
Like, my eyeliner game, people didn't, especially younger women, didn't do that. I think it probably popped up, like I said, about five to 7 years ago.
Does it make you sad that you missed that as a young person?
No, I'm kind of glad I missed it, actually.
Why?
Because I feel like now when I don't have my full face on, I'm always like, oh, God, I'm just me. And I feel like it's not, you know, as glammed up as I could be. So I would hate to feel like that as a very impressionable young woman.
Mm.
I'm glad I have a base of just being me for a while.
So what are you going to do with your daughter? I mean, are you going to let her wear makeup?
Yeah,
how does that work?
Yeah, I am. But, you know, that's a whole different conversation of talking about, you know, self-worth and everything. It's going to be difficult. To be honest, I haven't really figured it out yet.
Yeah.
But you can't prevent her from doing it,
right?
Because then she's gonna want to do it more,
right?
But you can set rules, like parameters. Like, I was not even allowed to wear makeup until middle school, so, you know,
is that late?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think if someone's letting their, like, fourth and fifth grader wear, you know, mascara and stuff, that's too much. I really believe that's too much.
Mm.
So middle school, I think, is about the time when you really make that leap into, okay, let's, you know, shave things and put makeup on. Oh. And yeah.
Everybody
whatever.
Else is doing it too.
Right. And you can't so be you the can't, only one not. Yeah.
Right. True.
That's really that's the I feel like the age where you cross from being a child into an adolescent, like
yeah.
a young adult.
You have those things that your parents instill in you, like, oh, your self worth and you're this and that. But then you also have like the other side of it always tugging on you.
Yeah.
So that's like a really middle ground.
It's tough.
You're like, I don't know which way to go.
Right. Mm.
So because I knew all that stuff and all those things that people told me. And then when you're actually in like the social environment, it's like really awkward.
It
and
is
tough at that point.
It's hard.
You're trying to fit in, but you're trying not to be.
Not to go against what you know from your parents. That's what, you know what they say? This is a random quick tidbit. We can get onto something else. But I did read that girls especially will remember. It becomes like their inner voice. Like if they have a nagging mother, which is hopefully what I become, I will nag my girl. But like girls especially will remember what their mom says in a situation like Ryan's talking about. Like if I have conversations with my daughter about sex, you know, at the appropriate age and time or whatever, and even if I'm kind of repetitive about it and she's like, God, Mom, I know. But the more I hammer home that message, that when she finds herself in that situation in late middle school, early high school, that voice in her head is me going, hey,
stop it.
It kind of slaps you around a little bit. And especially for young girls, like they need that. So I will nag her to death.
Hopefully.
You know what's sucky?
It's all I can do.
Right.
Yeah. What else can I do?
You have to. I mean, because once they get to a certain age, I mean, you can try all you want to. I mean, look at Cash Me Outside, girl.
That's what I'm saying. You
like
gotta,
something went wrong. Yeah. Horribly wrong there.
You got to instill it early.
What if you end up with the Cash Me Outside situation?
Oh. I don't know.
She starts getting these friends.
And she's like, how about that?
How about that, Holly?
How about that, Mama?
I ain't cleaning my room. How about that?
I'll tell you what I'm not going to do is take that bitch on Dr. Phil. I'll be like, okay, no. we're moving to homeschooling. Sit your ass in your room, and we're going to do this together. I don't know.
But, you know, I tell you what. Like, your childhood, no matter how good or bad it is, everyone is screwed up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was just reading this article yesterday that talks about gay men and their loneliness.
I didn't read the article because I saw it while I was doing something else, but I wanted to, I bookmarked it, but I read your synopsis of the article, which was great.
Thank you.
And so it's about the fact that even though you're reaching these milestones, you're still not happy.
It is. And it was interesting to me because I remember growing up and always feeling this sense of loneliness, even though I was around everyone. And I never have been able to quite put a finger on it. And this article perfectly sums it up, is because I always knew that I, at that time, could never have that. Because I remember one time watching my two cousins with my uncle. It was like before the holidays or something, and they were all like, you know, just joking around, doing the fatherly son thing. And I remember walking into the room and I had this crazy ass emotional reaction but this article, like everyone says they remember that one point when you remember doing this, where I went to go find something in a backpack and there was like a pebble inside of it. And I looked at the pebble and I started like hysterically laughing, and then the laughing turned to sobbing. And I was probably 11 years old and I was like, what is happening to me? Well, what this article describes is that's the moment where it sort of like your blinders are taken off and you're like, I'm different and I will never have that. I'll never be able to have a family with a wife and a husband and, you know, two children and a dog and a house and a picket fence. And so gay men carry those scars around with them. And it's sort of like a little prick that just keeps popping you over and over and over and over and over, and it comes into your adulthood. And so now with the advent of like Tinder and Grindr and all that stuff, it's where it just doesn't make it better, because you think that once you get to the gay world, it'll be okay. Like I've found my family, because RuPaul teaches us all the time, you know, we get to choose our family, you know. And that's why you know, I've always said that my gay family, they're like my second family. Those are the people that I spend holidays with and whatnot. But then a lot of times when people come to the gay world, they're rejected because people are so fucking catty. And it was just an interesting article that wove so many different themes through it.
Do you feel like the actual families of gay people feel really hurt by that statement?
By what?
The statement that you have to find your family.
Like,
obviously, I'm not talking about a family who is like, you know, treats their gay child terribly.
Right.
Like, let's say you come out and you have a very loving home and like you're accepted mm-hmm. and everything is still fine. Mm-hmm. If you're like the mother of a gay child,
right.
and you're gay and everything has been very warm and welcoming and mm-hmm. you know, there's no judgment there.
No hostility.
No hostility. They're not being kicked out of the house. Right. Like, and there is no underhanded, like, mm-hmm. you know, shaming or anything going on. Like, everything is very accepted. Are you hurt by the fact that your child still doesn't feel a connection to you?
I'm sure there is, but in that case, it's sort of like when you watch This Is Us and you see that Jack and what's Mandy Moore's character?
Rebecca,
how they're so loving towards Randall. I mean, they gave him, like, literally, he could not have had a better situation to grow up in
right.
as the black kid with the two white twins. You know, right. so comforting. They took him to black karate. I mean, so perfect. But he still had this yearning of, it's still different.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know where I come from. With gay people, it's very similar. Where, in part of this article that I read, where they talked about several guys that are, like, from New York, liberal families that were literally like, I'm joining PFLAG. Like, we're going to march in the Pride Parade. I love you. And he still did not feel connected. And my mom has, like, sometimes said that, you know, it's painful when she hears me say that, you know, I get to choose my family and I have another family.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I've always been there for you. But there's just something that straight people will never understand about being gay and how the weight that comes with being gay that you grow up with
mm-hmm.
on top of going through all the stuff we just talked about of being an adolescent
mm-hmm.
and then on top of trying to hide who you are. Because I always say my coming out process was I, like, spilled out on the cafeteria floor in high school because the weight of trying to make sure no one figured out that I was gay was just too much because it occupies every ounce of your brain from sitting in class and writing and saying, I'm writing too gay, raising your hand, I'm raising my hand too gay, I'm talking too gay, I'm eating my chicken nuggets too gay. And that's everything consumes your mind with that. And then it was just, it's too much.
Where do you think being born gay comes from? Like, I know this is, like, the question.
Right. What is it?
But
what
now
is
that we're
it?
Talking about it, like,
right.
is it, like, what makes someone gay?
I mean, from what I've seen, and I don't think,
like, is there research at all that has been done?
I think there's not one definitive study, but things I've read is something with, like, chromosomes and testosterone and estrogen and stuff like that. I'm not a scientist, so I don't
right,
know.
Right.
But it's stuff that, like, sort of made sense, and you're like, okay.
Okay.
But then someone was like, well, that's not really, I don't know.
I am fascinated by this whole thing.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, it's interesting because, and that was one of the things I talked about in this article. So good, and it's so long, but it's so interesting.
That's why I bookmarked it, because I was like, I don't have time right now.
I know, right? It took me a good 20 minutes to get through.
Yeah.
But another one of it talks about is how, you know, like my ex, he has a very high voice. It's a very effeminate voice. And it's like, you know, how did that happen? Or you'll have, like, gay guys that come from, like, a traditional family that it's like the very masculine dad. And, you know, the gay guy played sports and he was all, you know, he was mask acting, if you will. And then as soon as he comes out, his voice, like, gets a little higher and his mannerisms get a little effeminate. It's like, well, how does that happen?
Yeah, how does that happen?
Is he putting it on? I don't know.
Those
we don't
things,
know
because
that.
Those, like, things like voice register, those
right.
things can be controlled.
Yeah.
So
I think many times people don't know at
right.
first and they just try to act a certain way or,
yeah.
you know, maybe try to, like, fit in, like we said before. So it's just like a conditioned thing.
Right.
And
you're
then eventually it's just how you are.
Right.
And then other times that's just how you grow up.
Yeah.
It is. It's interesting because, I mean,
it's not like you taught yourself to be gay, like you
right.
you're just attracted to that,
right?
But I mean, like, the mannerisms and stuff,
the social, like, stuff that comes with
yeah.
it.
And I would say that even further than just as far as the gay community, that's everybody, because aren't we all a product of what we've been conditioned to?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, depending on where we grew up. Because
I used to talk like my friends back in high school,
right.
we were like surfers and we had like the cool lingo
oh,
and all that stuff, and
I
like
can't
a little
see
bit
that at all.
Of like
yes,
a surfer
mm-hmm.
accent kind
right.
of thing, and yeah, that was just my thing. And even after I stopped hanging out with him, I still talk like that.
Mm.
Not so much now.
Right.
Like, I try to be more brain fart on that word.
Professional?
Enunciated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You try to be more professional right. But
I don't know. Back in the day, I was just like mumble and like everything's like cool. And,
right.
Like, but that's cool, what, yeah.
That's
because it's who I was around. Mm. So, and what I was trying to be.
Right.
But then there are some times with gay people who they don't, like, there's nothing gay. Like, you know, you'll get guys fresh off the boat from, you know, Iowa.
Right.
You know, that were on the football team and there was nothing gay that they saw. And then they're like, you know, they go to college in New York or something. And then all of a sudden, it's like a whole new person.
But is it because they just saw a new world in which they wanted to be a part of?
I mean.
Because then why didn't they do it in Iowa?
Well, I think now that's, you know, with TV and internet and everything, that's a possibility. But then back in the day, that wasn't the case, you know? I don't know. That's
I haven't
like,
seen a lot of, like, research done about that. So
I wish
maybe,
they would, because I'd be very curious. This is why I love learning about, like, human behavior and
like
stuff
with people being honest about it too, like did you put it on for a while or whatever.
See, but I don't even know, because there are times where when I like when I'm around my gay friends, there are things that that are put upon, but then there's just some things that are like a part of me that are just more feminine than others, and there are some things that, you know, there's a to me, there's a time and a place that when I'm in a professional setting, you know, I know there are certain phrases and things that I would normally say that I won't say. But as an adult, I've learned to sort of, you know, be very aware of my surroundings and how I adjust, you know, my personality.
Right.
Because how I am, if I'm with your family, Holly, a white family, is different than how I'll be with, like, my black family.
And that, and how I am with you guys, like, in this room.
Right.
I feel like this is what I am when I'm with you and Ryan now, because I feel like Ryan's, like, in the, you know, the trust tree.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I'm most authentically me here.
Mm.
But at home, totally different person.
Right.
When I'm in a business meeting, totally different person.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm with a certain group of friends, also not a completely different person, but a little bit guarded and, like, watching the room, you know?
Right.
And so I think that we all deal with that, but it must be very different and sort of innately bred in there as a gay person. But it comes from, I think, a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's really fascinating. I wish there was, like, a class on it.
You should read this article. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
If you're like, okay, y'all keep referencing this article, and if you're at work or you're in traffic and you're like, when I get home, I want to read it. If you just type in, why didn't gay rights cure gay loneliness?
Okay.
It's from one of the offsites of the Huffington Post. It's really interesting, by Michael Hobbs. H-O-B-B-E-S.
Why did you enunciate that?
Hobbs.
Michael Hobbs.
Why didn't gay rights cure gay loneliness?
Okay.
All right. Well, we're done.
Oh. I went by really fast.
I was like, that's
it. We're done. I have to go blow my nose.
Oh. Okay.
I really
Show's
need to.
Show's over.
We're done.
My nose is stuffy.
And I'm going to see a financial advisor today. I'm in the continual process of getting my shit together.
Mm.
And so I have to, like, print out, like, my retirement stuff and tax records and all this stuff. And
a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm sort of preparing myself to be judged. Like, she's going to be like,
I don't think that's her job. That's not their job. Their job is to help you get your shit together.
She told me, she also said, make sure to bring your budget. And I was like,
did you laugh at her?
I didn't. I said, well, I have, like, you know,
what,
when
like a life budget?
You're like,
yeah,
what?
Like
all together?
Monthly. Well, I used to have a budget when I worked with Dan Hines, the finance guy in Panama City. I used to do a monthly budget where you would earmark every dollar where it goes to. And in that moment, I kind of lied. I was like, well, I used to have a budget that I have on my computer so I can print it out and I can bring it to it.
Why were you talking so high and crazy?
Because I felt like, I don't know, when I feel like I need to put on, like, an impression or, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I get nervous.
I feel like I'm just going to show up and bring in my little notepad where I break out my bills between the 15th and the end of the month and be like, I'm sorry, girl. I pay these bills and then whatever I have left over, I spend.
That's how I do. But I always have in my head, like, you know, what's the big bills are. And
right.
Then I'm like, I'm probably fine.
Right.
Most of
I just do the big bills.
Yeah, right.
And then
you don't take into consideration.
I don't take into account the the Taco Suns.
And the, the Taco Tuesdays. Gas. I don't ever take gas into consideration.
No, I never do. I'm just like, $20 Okay.
And then I always feel like my grocery bill can just sort of like flex and be very flexible around how much money's left.
True.
I'm like,
I could eat or not eat.
Exactly.
I don't know.
No, no. It's either, yeah, I can go to Tijuana Flats or grab a glass of bologna and some bread, and that's going to be it for the week.
Yeah.
So I have to go do that today. I'm a little nervous.
It's going
to
be good.
Okay. Sorry. They have this Olive Garden commercial in there with chicken Alfredo. It looks really good. All right, Ryan, what's all of your social media?
Radio McGib, MCGIB.
Holly.
Radio Holly, and that's Radio, H-O-L-L-Y, and you can do that for Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter.
My name is Miguel Fuller, M-I-G-U-E-L-F-U-L-L-E-R. You can find me on Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot 101.5 TampaBay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.